Last week, in our installment of How to Talk to Others About Jesus, we talked about repentance, and these were two of my favorite quotes that I put on the board from last week. Repentance means you change your mind so deeply that it changes you. Remember, repentance, the Greek word for repentance from the New Testament, means to change your mind, literally. And if you change your mind and you change your heart, guess what's going to change? Your behavior. But if we just change our behavior simply on going, hey, I understand this is what I need to do, God, I'll change my behavior, but we don't really change our mind or change our hearts, guess what's going to happen? We're going to revert right back to old ways. And that's exactly what I explained to somebody when we're talking about repentance, that it changes us because we've changed our mind. Also, I like this quote from last week, repentance doesn't mean anything if you keep doing what you're sorry for. And if you stay in that habit of cheating or lying or gossiping, if we stay in that habit of sexual immorality, or if we stay in that habit of doing whatever God says, don't be in the habit of these things. That's what I also try to explain to somebody is like, we got to change our habits. And every time God says, change your habits, he gives us something to change to. And that's the fruits of the Spirit. That doesn't mean we're not going to occasionally mess up, but we trust God so much with our lives that we're trying to be that pleasing aroma to him. We want to glorify him with our very lives. And that's why we do what we do. That's our sole motivation, is to glorify God because of everything that he's done for us and that he let his son die for us. And we are so cut to the heart, just like the people in Acts 2, that we want to change and live for him. And then this, I don't know if you can see what I wrote up there, but of course, this is like mimicking baptism, death, burial, resurrection, mimicking the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And what it says there at the top is, this is when I got woke. Now, woke is a term, if you're not familiar with it, you probably have heard it at least, and it's been a term more or less used in our society just the last couple of years, and it means being aware of injustices. Should we be aware of injustices? Sure, certainly. But I think the difference for a Christian, I think the difference for a Christ follower, is we don't see right and wrong through the world's eyes. We see it through God's eyes. We see it through the eyes of Christ. And what did Christ tell us? Well, he told us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute you, to do the exact opposite of what the world would say. And that doesn't mean justice shouldn't be brought to those who do injustice. What it does mean is that we need to take it a step further as Christ followers and love people so much that they have the opportunity to give their lives to Christ too. Amen? That's what we're all about. So, there's no person you will ever meet for whom Christ did not die. If you would, look in your books, and I'm just going to share with you guys for a few minutes here, a few more thoughts on baptism. By the way, I've got cards in the back. Some of you asked for cards to invite people to church here with. This is our Gators for Christ card. It's an invitation to our campus ministry and our young adult ministry, our young professional ministry, our post-grad ministry, whatever, but also an invitation to University City as well. And there's some cards that you can grab in the back. But what we're trying to do in this class is do more than just say, hey, you should come join us at church sometime, because they may or may not. What we're trying to do is to change lives by telling others about Jesus personally. And so, you know, we're obviously they're going to hear something that pricks their heart, hopefully here at church. And we use the term church to describe this building. But remember, the church is you. The church is you. The church is Ramon. The church is Caitlin. The church is Josh. The church is Leslie. The church is me. You know, this is the church that Christ died for, and that's why it's so important that we're not just bringing people to a building. We're bringing people to know who we are, you know, and to know who Christ is. So that's the important part. Let's not miss that part. So anyway, if you're we'll go to the last study, Bible study number 6. We looked at a few things last week. What I'm going to look at real quick is Acts chapter 2 and verses 36 through 41. Acts 2, 36 through 41, they're on the second page of Bible study number 6. as if you're studying with somebody with this book. And I would definitely read this passage, and this is one we skipped over last week, but it's usually a starting point for most people when they're studying with somebody on baptism. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. We talked about being cut to the heart last week, and what that really means. And it wasn't just a few individuals that were cut to the heart. It says they were cut to the heart. All of the people gathered there that decided to be baptized that day, that numbered at least 3,000, were cut to the heart, each one individually, and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? And this was their sincere and honest question. They really had no idea how to respond to Peter's message that Jesus died for each and every one of them so that they could be given eternal life. And when you're studying with somebody, this is the point you want to get them to is, what do we do? What do I do now in response to what Jesus has done for me? Well, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off." And when I'm studying with somebody, I usually point to them and I go, the people that are far off, that's you and me right here. That's all of us gathered here tonight. That's who Jesus was referencing. And that kind of makes it a little bit more personal when you're studying with somebody when you point that out. "For all whom the Lord our God will call." Is God done calling people to him? Nope. God is not done calling people to him. Trey just got baptized a couple of weeks ago, right before the beginning of our series. Frankie Gennaro got baptized. God is continually calling people to him. Give people the opportunity to get that calling. Give them that opportunity. Plant that seed. Give them that chance. And so, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. One thing I like to point out, too, when I'm studying with somebody is these underline words, going back and maybe rehashing repentance a little bit, and pointing out passages like Romans 10:13, where it says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's about repentance there. But sometimes people stop right there and go, "Well, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's it." And they go, no, it's not like it's a puzzle in the Bible. It's like we're given the different pieces, and he doesn't have to say all the pieces together, just as he does here in Acts chapter 2. They're all important. Is repentance important? Absolutely. Is baptism important? Absolutely. But in some places in Scripture, he tells us just to repent, just to call upon the name of the Lord with all of our heart to be saved. In other places, it talks about just baptism by itself. And here it says them together, and along with other passages. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you go down the page to that second question, it's something I would definitely point out to somebody. What would happen if they did what Peter said? Well, and the answers are there for them to read. But, of course, they're going to, if reading it and looking at the underline, they're going to say, well, if they repented and were baptized, then God would forgive them of their sin. He would give them the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in them, God's Spirit within them, and add them to his family. And then you can ask that person, well, what would happen if they did not do what Peter said? Well, they would not be forgiven. They would not be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. They would not be added to the family of believers. Go ahead and skip over, and we're going to skip on over to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And this is right towards the end. It's not the very last page, but it's the next last page. 1 Peter 3:21 in the middle. And I love to point out this passage to somebody. "And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, it's not a bath, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." I get to do a lot of marital counseling here at University City. I've done quite a bit lately, and I've got three more weddings coming up in the next 6 months. I got Marshall and Kat Drosh's wedding. I've got Ryan and Nikki's redo wedding. They did get married officially last year, but I'm redoing it so that they can have people there this time, this year. So they're renewing their vows so they can have folks there. And I'm also doing Omar and Jessica Vence's wedding, Jessica Reynolds Vence's to be, who was one of our graduates we recognized this past Sunday. And when I am pointing this out to somebody, I say, you know, when you get married, you're making the pledge of a good conscience in front of God towards that spouse, towards that fiancé, towards that life partner to be. You're making the pledge of a good conscience towards them. And the way we do it, at least in this country, is with a beautiful wedding ceremony. Most people do that, or they at least elope and get married in front of a courthouse. They do something, but they do it with rings. They do it with a pledge of a good conscience towards each other, till death do us part. And so if that's the second most important commitment, the first most important commitment we will ever make in our lives is this right here, making that pledge of a good conscience towards God, that we are giving God our entire lives, that we're repenting of our sins, that we want God to not just be Savior, but to be Lord of our life. And that's what I love to point out to somebody. Is Zoe here? Not yet. Okay. She just texted me. She said she's going to be running late, and she was going to read a scripture for us. So I'm going to let her do that at the end of class, and since she didn't get to have that opportunity last week. But right now, I'm going to have Drew Copeland come on up. Where's Drew? In the back there? Okay. And Drew's going to share with us. He hasn't been able to be part of our class, but I told him what we've been talking about and talking to others about Jesus. And I wanted Drew to have the opportunity to share with you guys. And Drew, if you kind of stay in this area, that'd be great, because we're filming. So you can stand where I am and I'll step out of the way. But we're recording for others that may not get the chance to be here or watching at home. But I'd like you to share with others what it means, or what it's meant to you in your life, to share Jesus Christ with other people. And what's really cool about this, and I can say this because Briggs is up there right now, is that Drew and I got to, and Jasmine got to study with his son Briggs, all four of us together, just the hour before class, because he's thinking about making that decision himself and giving his life to Christ. So that was really cool. So we got an example right there, and maybe you want to share that, I don't know. But I'm going to give you this one. Yeah, so here you go, from a safe distance.
All right. Yeah, so we were. We were just talking to Briggs about making that decision, which is awesome. So I'm going to share with you a few ways that I have conversations about Christ in my life. So I'm a musician. For you guys that don't know, I travel around and play in a band, and so I have a fairly big platform that I can say things from. And so some of the ways that I get that opportunity, and this some of these will relate to you guys as well. One of the ways is I'm just real blunt. I mean, Donnie's known me for a long time, and I'm going to kind of say what I'm thinking for the most part. I'm going to tell you probably more than I should if you ask my wife, but I kind of say what I'm thinking a lot of times. So I have friends that I've been friends with for literally 30, 35 years that have constantly come to the edge of religious belief and believing in God and believing in Jesus, and then they kind of back away for one reason or another. And so occasionally I will just flat out, we'll be in a car and I know that I've got them in the car for the next couple hours, and I'll go, "Hey man, it's about that time. We're gonna talk about God for a while." And sometimes I get the head drop and the, "Oh boy, here we go." But a lot of times it'll spark a conversation and it starts some of their concerns about the exclusivity of Christ. And I love it when that's one of the things that they bring up right away, because I get to go, "But it's for everybody. How can you consider it exclusive when the invitation is for everyone? There is no exclusivity. You're all invited. Everyone can come." But that's one of the ways that I share with my close friends that I know that have consistently struggled with following Jesus. Another way that I get to is something that Donnie, I think, is such a great example of, but I try to live my life in that way so that people ask me. They come to me and say, "Hey, I see the way you practice your life. I see the things that you do. I see the things that you post on your website or on your Facebook or on your wife's Facebook." And they come to me and ask me about it. And that, I love those invitations because you can tell that that's a soul that's searching, for the most part. And it's great for me because a lot of the people that I have conversations with, I may not be really close to it. Maybe people that have just seen us on Facebook or on Instagram or on our website or whatever. And so it gives a chance to kind of dive in from a different perspective and have that conversation with someone about Christ. And so I value those opportunities. The last one really that I have is something that not everybody gets a chance to do, but if you listen to any of my music, I did put out one solo record, and it didn't sell very many, but I did put it out. But the band has put out a lot of records. The band that I'm in is called Sister Hazel, and if you listen to the songs that I've written, there's pretty clear religious messages in a lot of the songs that I've written. It's not overtly over the top, in your face, literal, scripture or anything like that. But it's clear that some of the stuff I'm talking about my love of God, my relationship with God, things like that. And so that will draw people to me about my religion and about my belief and my belief in Christ. And I value that. And I continue to serve, those opportunities in ways that I feel like people welcome that conversation and feeling instead of feeling like someone that like me is preaching to them, because that would be a huge disservice, because I'm as flawed as everyone else in this world, and so I'm doing my best, but it just gives me an opportunity to talk to someone about it that maybe is looking for that. So those are some of the ways, Donnie, that I get to share Christ in my life. And the last one that I will mention is not one that I practice enough, but I know that one that all of us would want to. I'd like to be bolder. I'd like to be bolder in my approach of talking to people about Christ and asking them if they know Jesus Christ. That's something that I want to work on. I'm getting older, so I better do it quick. But it is something that I think that we all should strive for, and that is continuing to grow in our boldness for Christ. So that's it. That's what I've got for you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. So I got two messages while Drew was sharing. One that my extended car warranty is going to expire soon. They've been calling about that for the last couple of years, I'll tell you what. And the other one was from Zoe. Her practice is running late, so I'm going to have somebody else read that. I'm going to ask Kennedy. Where's Kennedy at? All right. Kennedy, you did such a great job last week. I'm going to give you Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. If you guys would all turn there. I've referenced this scripture. We looked at a couple of verses back in an earlier chapter of the study, but I want to read the whole thing in its entirety. This is definitely a passage I share with somebody when we're talking about baptism. This is something I'll get to share with Briggs when we get to that point, Drew. And I think it's neat because Drew was doing exactly what I was telling you guys to do when you're studying with somebody. Drew's studying with his son, and he's studying in such a way where obviously he has an open, wonderful relationship with his son. And they can talk about anything. And his son's got tough questions. And so some of those tough questions, Drew was like, "You know what? I don't know if I'm going to have the right answer for you, or if we're going to get as deep as we could if we had somebody else answer that." So he invited me in, and Briggs said, "Okay, I've known Donnie since I was the little one. You know, why not?" And so that started that three-way study. And that's something you can do at any point with anybody else in here is, you know, say, "Hey, maybe I'm stumped, but I can have this other person help study with all of us too. And that's so important to invite somebody else into the study when you need to. But Acts 8, 26 through 40. Kennedy, I need a mic to go to Kennedy. Who was singing earlier that has a mic? Who still has a mic? Yeah. Salisa, if you don't mind bringing that over to Kennedy. Thanks. It's just go into your Bibles. It's not written in here. Just go into your Bibles. Yeah. Acts 8, 26 through 40. But I wrote it in mine, Jefferson, so I'm going to use mine. All right. Go ahead, Kennedy.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went.
Okay. So Philip rose and went to where the angel of the Lord told him to go. I think it's so cool. Have you guys ever gotten in a spiritual conversation you weren't expecting? Have you ever gotten in that conversation with somebody else about Jesus? Well, hang on, let me take this off. Have you ever gotten into that conversation with somebody about Jesus and you were totally not expecting that to happen in that moment, and it happens, and you're like, this is exciting. And what's really exciting is when we answer the call of God's Spirit and we take the time and the opportunity to study with somebody else when they have those questions about who Jesus is. And you were talking about that boldness earlier, Drew. And trust me, you know, as your campus minister, I still have room to grow in that boldness. Don't think that I have it all down there. I'm like, I'm always ready. You know, there's some times when I'm caught off guard or when I don't feel like I am ready. But readiness comes with a willingness to let God's Spirit guide us to those opportunities. So let God's Spirit guide you, just as Philip was like, all right, I'll go talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. And so he ran over to the chariot. Go ahead.
And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah.
I'll stop right there. Okay, so there's two key things coming on. He had come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. If you guys look at a world map right now, I was just looking at one on my phone before this class, it is exactly 1,100 miles from the capital of Ethiopia in Africa to Jerusalem. 1,100 miles he came by chariot just to check out a little bit about what was being preached about Jesus. Do you think he had some interest? Okay, absolutely. And so that's something you can convey to the person you're studying with, is this person came 1,100 miles to just check it out. And then he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Go ahead, Kennedy.
And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
Now okay. Sorry. So, how can I unless somebody guides me? In another translation, it says, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? Is the Bible self-explanatory? Okay, no and yes. Okay, so why do you say no and why do you say yes? Go ahead, Jefferson.
I say no because a lot of times the Bible is taken out of context. A lot of the verbiage in it is...
It can be.
It
can be taken out of context, correct. If anybody wants to take a passage out of context, you absolutely can take it out of context, right? Okay. So in that sense, we definitely want people to get the right context. Why else would you say yes or no? Ramon, what would you say?
The Bible has some expressions, some practices that you need to explain to that person in order to get the total picture of what's going on. Like you just said, you know, when you read the Ethiopian person came to Jerusalem, you go over my head. But when you say 1,100 miles, that would be a different context and better understand that scripture.
Yeah, and that 1,100 miles back and forth took at least a month. So it's not like we go 1,100 miles on a road trip over to Arkansas or to Tennessee or to another state or Missouri or some of the other places you guys are from. It is not just a two-day trip there or a one-day trip there if you're really efficient, but it is a long journey by chariot. And to sit and explain with somebody, that's a wonderful thing to do. The Bible is written so anybody can understand, but it's also written so that we can, as Christians, and as Jesus pointed his own disciples to, share the message with others. And that's what we're also meant to do. We're made to listen to the preached word, to the Bible, and we're also made to study with others. Yes, Jefferson.
The thing that helped me, you know, without taking things out of context, was the study Bible that I had, and I still have it. You know, it'll break down each, things that are usually, like verses that are usually taken out of context, it'll have like a little side note and explain exactly what's going on in the verse and kind of give you a backdrop of it.
Yeah.
That really helped me as a Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need a good study Bible, we actually had several study Bibles just donated, like really good study Bibles that you can find in Sam's Club or Books A Million. And those were just donated to me. So if you need a good study Bible, I will give you one because they were given to me and I don't have a use for 10 of them. But I'd like for some of you guys to have them to use with others. Kelton? Gina, go for it. Sorry, looking over here. Go, Gina. Great.
He doesn't have all the information like we do. The new Christians in the first century had letters. They didn't have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because everything in the Bible, any misconceptions you might have of the New Testament, are explained in the Old Testament, and vice versa. So I think it's very important to note that even though, yes, we get confused because we have such an information overload where people take book verses out of context, it is crucial for us to remember that the Bible encompasses all that is our faith.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Very well said, Gina. Thank you for pointing that out. And I think that's so important, too, that what you said about the Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't have the Pentateuch. He didn't have that reference point that the Jews did. So it's so important that he was given the opportunity to understand that Philip met him where he was at. And that's what I'm trying to point out to you guys, is that we meet people where they're at. Some people have a lot of knowledge of Scripture. Some people have very little knowledge of Scripture. Some people don't believe it's the written the written word of God. So that's why earlier in this book, in an earlier chapter, we try to help them get to that point where they understand that this is the authoritative word of God, and it does have all the answers. So meeting people where they're at. Thanks. Chad?
Jesus said that the Father would send the Spirit of truth. And when it comes to the Holy Scriptures, no man can understand the Scriptures unless he has the Spirit of truth to teach him. And Jesus Christ teaches you himself as you go through the Scriptures. And the only way that you're actually going to want to understand is if you thirst and hunger for the things of God, if you thirst and hunger for righteousness. And he said, if you thirst and hunger, you shall be filled. So the Bible, for me, that I find, is that in and of itself, people do take it out of context. But I think we're too smart for our own good sometimes. I believe we have to accept it as children. Because in many points, the Bible is very clear. And people want to reason with it when it doesn't change. It can't be bent. And we like to find our way around something. Mm-hmm. And that's never the case with the Scriptures. And I believe that if people would pray more earnestly for the truth, And get into the Scriptures themselves, God will lead them.
Amen. Very well said, Chad. Thank you for that. And that's one really cool thing that we're reading about here is the angel of the Lord, the Spirit of God, was guiding this. You know, it wasn't just a happenstance meeting. It was not by accident God set this up because of the eunuch seeking, because of Philip taking that opportunity to study the scripture with him. And it's so cool that we all have that opportunity. Okay, keep on going.
Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? From his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going...
That's really cool. So he told him from this passage of scripture, the good news about Jesus. He started right there at that passage, right where the Ethiopian eunuch was, and led him to get to know Jesus. So they talked probably quite a bit about who Jesus was and what this was referencing. In the Old Testament, you find 360 or so, 360 prophecies about Christ to come. The Bible is seamless. It's so awesome to know that there's so many references to Christ before Christ ever came. It's a beautiful thing. Keep going.
Okay, verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
I think this is so cool how this plays out, because the Ethiopian eunuch's like, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? Because they were obviously going along on his chariot. And he's like, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And so they went down and baptized him right then, right there. How long did this conversation take? Hours, the better part of the day? We don't know. But we do know that it was an immediate decision on behalf of the Ethiopian eunuch because he was cut to the heart, because he was ready to confess the name of Jesus Christ, because he was ready to repent of his sins, because he was ready to give his life to Christ. And what a beautiful thing that they went down into the water, and then we know it's immersion again because it says that they came up out of the water. Because there are several people I've studied with in the past, they're like, well, can't we just do a little sprinkling or just some water? I'm like, no, this is what the Bible says. You know, God could have laid it out many different ways, but this is the way he laid it out. So this is what we need to do because we want to please God. And so that's a beautiful thing. And then what's really cool is you read in history, the Bible is backed up historically, and you read about people in Ethiopia around this time period, around these couple of years that the book of Acts was written, you read about people in Ethiopia coming to know Christ. Was it because of the eunuch and his joy? We could assume such. But here we got a Christian going back, a disciple of Christ, going back to Ethiopia, and he probably can't help but share the good news of Jesus. Just as we can't help but share that good news today. And I love how Philip's like zapped away and then he just shows up somewhere else and he's like, all right, time to start preaching. You know, how Philip and the other disciples, the apostles, how they all just are like, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I land in jail. I get released from jail, I get released. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to share Christ. Whether beaten, whether stoned, whether jailed, whether in prison, Paul says it best when he says, I can't help. You do whatever you want to, Roman authorities. I can't help but preach the name of Jesus. You put me back on the street, I'm going to preach. You lock me up in confinement, I'm going to write about Jesus. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And that's the same thing that my mom's doing today through her cancer treatments. She's had that opportunity. There's people that my mom hasn't had the opportunity to go to church with, even though Northwest has been open just about as long as University City has been open back in St. Petersburg. My mom can't go because she has to protect herself, but she knows that some of those nurses and doctors are going because of her constant nagging? No. Because she can't help but share? Yeah, exactly. Because she can't help but share, and she has that captive audience for those 2 or 3 hours of chemo every single week. And I love it. It's just like you, Drew, where you turn around in the car with your band or your bus or wherever you're going, and you guys are starting to travel again because concerts are kind of opening back up a little bit. Maybe they're social distance a bit. Are they? Are they not?
A little bit.
A little bit? Okay. So whatever that looks like, safe, not safe, I don't know. But I know that when you're traveling with those guys, you've got a captive audience. And not that you're trying to put the guilt trip on anybody, but you care enough about their souls where you realize that Jesus may come back in our lifetime. But either way, we are not guaranteed that long. I'm 52 years old. My parents are nearly 80. They're both in their late 70s. And they realize, you know, it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the year after that. They don't have forever on this earth, but they know that we all get forever in heaven.
And there are times when I feel like, hey, if I don't care, if I don't say something, no one will.
That's right.
There's just people I know like that, but I feel like I may be the only person that will take this time and say this to you.
That's right. And that kind of goes back to that old adage, you may be the only Jesus someone ever knows. Not that you're Jesus, but that you are that messenger, that ambassador for Christ. Darren may be the only messenger for Christ that somebody at Nationwide will ever have. You may be the only messenger some of your band and some of the people you go on the road to see your concerts, you may be the only messenger they ever have. At Orange Theory, Caitlin may be the only messenger some of those girls and guys that work out there or work there may have. You're the only messenger of Christ. Some of you in your classes, even as a college freshman like Leslie, you may be the only opportunity to get to know Christ that they get. So that's why it's so important that we take those words of Christ, where Chad had those words for us last week, that we take this message seriously and that we can't help but share. Man, I tell you guys so much about Julie and Mackenzie and Addie. I can't wait till things open back up. So that they can be back here and my parents, my mom can still be safe and they can be a part of your lives again. They tell me this every week. They're like, we're going crazy. We're about to lose it. And I'm just like, all right, okay, just hang in there. We're doing this for mom. But the big thing is that we have people in our lives that we love a lot that we can't help but talk about. You know, whether it be a boyfriend, whether it be a family member, whether it be a really close friend, we can't help but talk about these people because they mean a lot in our life, right? Well, guess what? Your best friend, Jesus, the one you committed your lives to, and looking around this room, I know many, many, many people in here have given their lives fully to Christ. People must hear that message, and they have to hear it through you. Give them that opportunity. Go fearlessly into this world. Here's the last thing I want you to do. We started this class off 7 weeks ago with doing this, and I'm going to end it with the same thing. So this is your refresher. I want you to write down or type in your phone. If you have a prayer list, put it in there. But I want you to jot down just two people, that's it. All right? Now you can write down more if you like, but I want you to write down at least two people. But for the sake of this exercise, just two people that you know who are lost because they don't have Christ in their life. Can be extended family. It can be a classmate. It can be somebody from work. If you're retired, it's somebody that you come across often. Maybe it's like Bill's doctor, you know. It's somebody that you have in your life that you see somewhat regularly at least that is lost. If you'll write down at least two names, because sometimes if we just write down one name, we may or may not come across that person for a while, and we're just like, oh, okay, and it just kind of fizzles out. But write down at least two people with the prayer, and I want you to pray for those two people every single day. Write that down if you need to. Pray for those two people every single day, starting this evening, and I want you to take the opportunity to share with at least one of them the good news about Jesus. I know, and I know Darren knows, that there are a few people in here that are studying, that are not there yet, that are getting there, and they're here because somebody else here invited them. And that's really, really, really cool. But wouldn't it be great if instead of just a few people at a time that are studying about Christ or having a few visitors at church, we had a bunch of people because you guys couldn't help but tell others about Jesus? And wouldn't it be great if each one of us was able to bring at least one person to know Christ? It'd be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it? Well, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be, ambassadors for Christ. So take that opportunity to pray over those two people. And I tell you, when I'm praying over those, this is something that I do. I'm never going to ask you guys to do something that I don't do myself. Whenever you're praying over those two people, I promise when you see them, it's going to almost naturally come out because you're praying for the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Kennedy? Can you talk into the mic?
Yes, if I turn it on.
Thanks.
Okay. Another thing I think that we can challenge ourselves to do, and I'm mostly just saying this because it's something I struggle with, is not being prepared for the person who's going to ask you a question. I think it's in Peter. It talks about being prepared for, your defense or something like that? Yeah. I just feel like, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in addition to that, I know in another passage it says to be prepared in season and out of season, which means being prepared all the time. You know, being prepared in Gainesville, Florida, there's football season, and there's being ready for football season. And I think in Alabama, it's only just football season all the time. I think that's all they do 365. That's why they're winning all those championships. But you know, there's in season and out of season, meaning there's every season that we need to be ready for being ready to share the good news with somebody. And so that takes Bible study. You know, that takes what Chad was talking about a little bit ago. Keep going, Kennedy.
I think that's sometimes the hesitancy to not share it is almost the fear of, okay, now what am I going to say next? So I think that comes with being prepared. And, you know, there's been times that I've been at the dinner table with a friend who's not a Christian, and God came up, and I literally just say a prayer really quick, like, please give me the right words to say, because you want to be careful with your words. But it is just important, like you said, to just be in your Bible every day. And
Right. But even if you don't feel ready, give the Holy Spirit a chance to talk through you. You know, give that person a chance to be met where they're at. And so it is important to be ready, absolutely, and also very important to just, you know, take that opportunity to tell somebody else about Jesus. Because when we don't take that opportunity, we kind of walk away going, oh, I missed that opportunity. I feel so bad, you know, because I could have been that spiritual connection to Christ for somebody. And that's not to say somebody else can't be, but we can't just keep passing the buck. We have to be people that are bold in our faith, just like the apostles that couldn't help but share. And there would make no mistake about it. I don't think there was just something magic in the air that was happening that was like, okay, here's thousands of people responding a lot throughout the New Testament. I think it was because of the boldness of the apostles. I think it was because of the boldness of the first century church that each believer realized that it's my opportunity to go and share about what Christ is doing in my life, how he's changed my life. And so I think we get scared of rejection sometimes. I think we treat it like we're asking somebody out for a date, you know, we're like, you know, and they're like, no, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Okay, sorry. You know, like that's not it. It's not do not take this personally. It's not personal rejection. They're rejecting Christ. Give them the opportunity to reject Christ, because just like my best friend in high school, Jeff Boston, from high school all the way through the next 20 years, the four or five times that I tried to sit down and talk to him, at least that number, probably more than that, he rejected. He was like, well, maybe. And then we studied a little bit. And he's like, nah, not for me right now. And he was too into the world. And then he realized he wanted to stay faithful when he finally did get married to his wife. Instead of sleep around, he wanted to do what was right. He wanted to be that committed, well, in better terms, Christian, but he didn't know how to be. So we got to study over the phone. We got to talk. We got to share. We got to have about six studies over the phone, and then I got to meet him. He's in Melbourne, Florida, and we got to meet in Orlando, and I got to baptize him, and that was such a beautiful thing. But it took 20-something years to get there. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. All right? Anybody else? All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you again for the series, and Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, and we won't have this opportunity to have this large class again until the fall, Father, but we're excited to have had this opportunity with younger Christians, with older Christians, just being a body, Father. This feels so good to get the body of Christ together, and Lord, help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to be your disciples. Help us to be those that are bold in our faith, to share your love with others, Father, and that your life-changing blood, the blood of your Son and our Savior Jesus, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, was spilt at the cross at Calvary on our behalf, Father. Help us to never forget that and to live each day for you, to give others the opportunity to get to know you, to realize that life is short, that we live in a culture that is anti-Christian for the most part. And Lord, help us to go against the grain. Help us to not just want to be popular and well-liked, but help us to be people that want to be well-respected. Help us to be people that are people that stand up for you in the face of adversity, and people that love others so much that we can't help but share with others the good news of your Son and our Savior Jesus and what your Holy Spirit is doing in our lives every single day, Father. Help us to be those people, just as we can't share about our family members, about people we love in our life, that people ask us about how our family's doing. Help us to talk about the most important family member in our life, Father, and that's your Son. And Lord, help us to never forget each and every day, Father. Help us to wake up with purpose, not just to work out or do well on a test. Father, help us to work out on purpose for you, to live a life of purpose, to not just coast, but to be people that are all about you and that have a mission in life, and that's to share your love with others, Father, and to glorify you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's to your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.